to employ effective battle, obviously, it behooves one to know their enemies. And Satan, obviously, is the archenemy of God and his plan, and that which is behind the scenes, under the guise of human viewpoint, under the guise of religiosity in human viewpoint, and under the FCA, in opposition to positive volition, as Paul has brought out. So it's a good time here to look at Satan and his counterfeits designed to throw people off from the truth. To know their tactics and how your enemy operates. One, first of the introduction, Satan is openly declared archenemy of God. He makes no secrets or bones about it. B, both the Old Testament and New Testament assume his existence, even though people will take issue with it. It's nothing new under the sun. Got your idiots out there that want to always take issue with the truth. Well, guess who's behind them? See. First thing popped up in regards to the internet today, you know.
Revelation may not be what people think it is.
You got some woman on telling you what Revelation really stands for. It's all representative and nothing, none of it's really real. And just blasphemous stuff like John was a Jewish unbeliever and a mystic. You know, was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. She gets one little historical part right and, you know, she blows it out, you know what, in regards to the rest of it. And you go, here she is advocating what Satan wants to be advocated in regards to the Scripture. And people look at these people and think that they are just highly pious and religious. And must be very spiritual because they have this such depth of intellectual understanding in regards to the Bible. So I have a heyday with that. Both Old Testament and New Testament assume his existence. That's what happens when you go in and you allegorize. See, Catholicism is notorious for that. People that adhere to that system of interpretation. See, his most common title as Satan, adversary, is explicitly referenced 18 times in the Old Testament and 36 times in the New Testament. You can look these verses up to validate my accuracy. 1 Corinthians 21:1, Job 1, 6 and 7, where it's used 2 times, 8, 9, 12 used 2 times, chapter 2, 1 and 2 used 2 times, 3, 4, 6, 7, Zechariah 3, 2 used 2 times, Matthew 4, 10, 12:26 used 2 times. 16:23, Mark 1:13, 3:23 used 2 times. Verse 26, Mark 4:15, Mark 8:33. I read these things in case people get tapes, by the way. I don't do this just to bore you. Luke 10:18, 11:18, 13:16, 22:3 and 31. John 13:27, Acts 5:3. 26:18, Romans 16:20, 1 Corinthians 5:5, 7:5, 2 Corinthians 2:11, 11:14, 12:7, 1 Thessalonians 2:18, 2 Thessalonians 2:9, 1 Timothy 1:20, 5:15, then Revelation 2:9, 13:24, 3:9, 12:9, 20, chapter 20, verse 2 and 7. B. He is the primary source of evil to both fallen angels and mankind. When fallen angels are described as his angels. In a genitive of relationship, possession. Sharing his evil nature. Referred to in such fashion in Matthew 25:41. Then he, Christ, will also say to those on his left, the king that will return, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Two, he is the tempter behind the fall of Adam and Eve that became his progeny via the STA. He gained spiritual control over mankind due to their disobedience as he deceived Adam and Eve, or deceived Eve, bringing Adam and Eve in alignment with him by developing their own STA. Genesis 3 gives us that account where he is seen in the picture. In the Garden of Eden, pre-fallen state is basically utopia. Animals, all these things that God created were, if not dangerous, and of different temperament, if you will, than what you see today. And in the garden, there was a serpent. And the serpent became possessed by Satan. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. Doesn't mean he made an animal, a reptile, with intellect. Now, the fact that he was possessed by Satan, and he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." So he was able to speak through the serpent. And he baits her. And he baits her with a lie, which she should astutely have picked up on, because she had the doctrine, she had the truth. And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, shall not eat from it, or touch it, lest you die." Well, she picks up on it, but then she exaggerates it, and we see the first application of legalism in history. And that is when she says, "We are not to touch it." God did not command them not to touch it. He said, "Don't eat it. Play baseball with it if you want. But don't eat it." So this shows the beginnings, if you will, of self-righteousness. And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. Dying you will die." As he takes issue with it, he's got her hooked now. "For God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Who wouldn't want to be like God, see? "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. She gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." Wimp. That's what happened. What happens when the husband doesn't stand up in regards to that which is doctrinally right in the household when the woman's weak? The whole family pays for it. And obviously I'm not saying I would have done any better. I wouldn't have. I would have capitulated faster probably. Bring me another. Just don't leave me. "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked before they looked at each other in innocence. Enjoyed each other sexually, but in innocence. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings." So again, now we have more legalism now becoming involved. They're still the only two humans on the planet. Who cares if they run around naked? See? But all of a sudden, oh, they become self-conscious because they have become self-centered. See? In disobedience to God. And developed their STA. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." That's when he called them for Bible class. See? In theophany, he appeared to them. "And the man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.'" Revealing, exposing, if you will, his guilt. He said, "Who told you that you were naked?" Like God knew. He knew all along. "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Like God needs to know. Now, is God calling to task man The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Operation Patsy. And he turns around and blames it on the woman because he didn't have enough, you know what, to stand up for doctrine otherwise in his life. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate," which is the truth. And she shouldn't have been listening to the serpent to begin with. It wasn't her right man. It wasn't her right communicator of doctrine. The Lord God said to the serpent, so now the curse comes upon the serpent, men, etc., "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go." So the serpent used to walk upright. He had the capability to travel in that manner. "And the dust you will eat all the days of your life, by all snakes that are on the ground. And I will put enmity or hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." Your seed are unbelievers, those who are children of Satan. Her seed is Messiah, in positive volition, that will believe in Messiah. He will bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. The comparison in regards to the attacks that Satan's made regards Christ and getting him to the cross is nothing that's going to incapacitate Christ otherwise. It's painful, obviously. But what happens to the serpent through Christ is a devastating, deathly blow to the head. And to the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth." So that, by indication, implies that she had had children previously. There had been some pain, but nothing what you women feel today. "In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband." There's your proper priority of wife in the family. It's to your husband, see. It's not to your children. Your husband. Your children aren't going to be the ones that are there with you every day as you get up in the morning. Eventually they're going to grow up and move out, hopefully. So that's just something to think about. Husbands and wives, your partners, act like it. Respect one another. Instead of giving all your allegiance to your children, obviously they demand your attention appropriately, but keep it in perspective. "Your desire will be for your husband, and he shall rule over you, submitting to his authority." Fun, fun. That jackass, I can't believe I got to submit to him. Well, why'd you marry him for? Anyway, 17, "Then Adam," he said, "because you listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you." What Adam did in disobedience was in cognizance. He knew exactly what he was doing. And curse comes upon him, "you shall not eat from it. And curses the ground because of you," because of his role of authority over God's creation. Now creation gets cursed. "And toil you shall eat of it." You're going to have to work for a living now. "All the days of your life, both thorns and thistles that will grow for you." Work will not be fun. "You shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground," which sophisticated dust is what their bodies were made out of to begin with. "Because from it you were taken, for you are dust, to dust you will return." And the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Now put them in a situation where they're going to have to wear attire or clothing to protect them from elements and the thorns and thistles that they're going to be involved in, engaged in. Then the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now unless he stretch out his hand, take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." That implies that if they got a hold of that tree again, after they developed the STA, that there's something in that fruit that would have counteracted the STA and the death gene, and they would have lived on. So God had to take that out of their reach. out of the periphery, which he did. And therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate ground for which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim, the flaming sword which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. That was for all the idiots that were trying to get back in there after the fact, because the Garden of Eden remained intact until the flood. And keep men away from the garden at that point in time. Had supernatural angelic guard placed in station in that respect. And then compare John 8:44, where Christ calls the Pharisees, the religious leaders, your father, the devil, denoting the relationship of unbelievers with Satan. And then 1 John 3:10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not do righteousness, which starts at saving faith, is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. In application, doctrine applied. You're operating on your STA negative volition, your counterpart, unbelieving brothers. Satan is a real personality of angelic creation. He's of the cherub class of angels that operates behind the scenes of human history, manipulating the entire cosmic system, bent on destroying mankind. First John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The evil one there, reference to the devil. Ephesians 2:2. In regards to being in one's unbelieving state, under spiritual death, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. 1 Peter 5:8. Be a sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Revelation 12:9. The great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, and the great Star Wars encounter that will occur during the tribulational period. The serpent of old, also known as the great dragon, also known as Satan and the devil, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, his impact. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And then 20, verse 3. And Satan, after Christ returned, second advent, is thrown into the abyss for a 1,000-year millennial period. And threw him into the abyss and shut it, sealed it over him. So that, for what purpose? That he should not deceive the nations any longer. I don't know why nations are doing what they're doing today. Because they're in touch. Till the 1,000 years are completed after these things, he must be released for a short time. F, Christ acknowledged his existence and had a personal and real confrontation with him. Something none of us will have to ever face. Luke 10:18. referenced the fact that he recognized Satan, and he said to them, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning."
Looking at the ramifications of his person as Messiah and the feet of Satan. 22:31. Reference to him there. In regards to Peter trying to dissuade Jesus in regards to the divine viewpoint, with human viewpoint, of going to the cross. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Recognizing that Satan has audience to the throne room and looking for God's permissive will to bring about circumstances, situations that make our life miserable. We reveal, put pressure on us, and often reveals us for what we are, as it did Peter. Matthew 4:1-11, which gives us the account. Christ's wilderness temptations. Jesus was led up by the Spirit, that would be God the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. A long time to go without food. Most of us can't get by a day without it. Give us a knee, get cranky. Fasting 40 days, 40 nights. Obviously, this whole time he's involved in prayer. You know, people just, they look at this and what Jesus did physically. The reason why he's doing this is because he was so zoned in and concentrated in regards to this test that's in front of him. This is why he's fasting. He's praying. It's unceasing. He catches his winks as his human body demands in this regards, but he is in constant communion with God in regards to this test that he knows he's going to be facing. That's why he fasts. It's not to be cute and all these other erroneous ideas that people attach to it. And the tempter came and said to him, and obviously he's to a point of very hungry, being hungry now, and said to him, and that's when Satan arrives, "If you are a son of God, this is a tone of contempt." Satan will not verbally recognize him as the second member of the Godhead. A son of God, like he can become a god. See, command that these stones become bread. First of all, he obviously appeals to his physical condition. And Christ responds with doctrine. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil, and so Satan obviously appeals to the physical. That's where he'll first try to tempt you. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. Said to him, "If you are a son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Satan taking Bible doctrine and employing it in trying to wreck Jesus. Don't tell me the guy ain't a genius. But he takes it and wrenches it out of context. He puts it just like a fundy would, basically. Oh, just do this, you know. God will protect you because that's what Scripture say. Without not putting it within its proper context. And first and foremost, you don't test God. You don't have that attitude with respect to these things. And while these things are true, this is not the proper time for Jesus. That's what doctrine does, is gives you discernment to know when to apply, what to apply, see, etc. And Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you will not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me." As that reveals, obviously, that Satan's in control of the world. By default, he gained a position of authority and rulership over it. And he said, "You don't have to go to the cross. I'll give you the world now." See, that's essentially where he's coming from. And Jesus said, "Begone, Satan, saved before it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And obviously this is the point in time where Christ looks beyond the physical to the eternal ramifications of what he's going to engage in and what's going to mean to him, where he rules over the entire creation. He is part of the power that recreates with the new heaven and new earth and all these other things. See. And the devil split. Behold, angels came to begin to minister to him. And God provided at the proper time of what he needed otherwise, physically. And Luke 4, 1 through 13, parallel. And again, John 8, 44. And Jesus' kind response to the religious leaders. So, Judaism also assumed his existence. And I'm just going to call it quits right here. We'll pick this up Tuesday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.